itching my knee, laps in my brain. Take your Bible, if you will, please. We're going to be looking here this morning into the book of Genesis, chapter number 24. Genesis chapter 24. I appreciate all the good singing, everybody being in their place and taking care of their job and doing this and that. I've kept waiting on Brother Randy, and he kept waiting on me. And till I get that thumbs up, I know it's not on. And so anyhow, in the book of Genesis in chapter 24, you find the place you're able to stand. And look there in the chapter. And he says, "And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee to swear by the Lord God of heaven and the God of the earth that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom that I dwell. But thou shalt go into my country and my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac." And the servant said unto him, "Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again to the land from whence thou camest?" And Abraham said unto him, "Beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. And the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again." And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham and his master and swore unto him concerning the matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, and for all the goods of his master that were in his hand. He arose and went to Mesopotamia and to the city of Nahor. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it and how good it is to be in the house of God. We thank you for the grace of God that brought salvation to us. And we thank you, dear God, for thy mercy and grace upon us. And Lord, if there's one lost, undone without God, may you knock on their heart's door and let them know that it's them that you're interested in, to grant them grace and repentance that they might be born into the family of God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you and be seated. I'm going to preach a little while tonight, this morning, not tonight. I don't know what I'm thinking. I told you my brain's collapsing too, and I want to preach a little while this morning on looking for a bride for Isaac. Now, you know, in typology, Isaac's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and the great sacrifice that was going to be given. We'll not have time to be able to dive into all of that. But let me say to you that, if you will, that at the age of 75 is that God came to Abraham and he spoke to him. And he makes a statement and he says unto him, "I want you to get up from thy kindred." And he said, "Here's what I want you to do. I want you to get away from thy kindred, from thy father's house, into a land that I'm going to show thee. And thou shalt, I'll make a great nation bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I'll bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee, and thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." And so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and so forth and on. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Now, here's a man that's pretty much like you and I. You know, people in the Bible there, they're pretty much like you and I. They have families that they love. They have obedience unto God that they pursue. Those that don't certainly get deeper into sin and mess up their life. But let me say to you that one of the most vital, important things that you will ever be able to do is one of these days, whenever somebody is playing the wedding march, and it's going to be for you. I'm going to tell you, you'd better examine it. You better make sure that it's a proving ground. You better make sure that you know all about, you know, I'm hoping, and, you know, after all these years, 57 years in August, I'm sure hoping that my wife didn't marry me for money. She's covering up disappointment well, because you don't stay 57 years
you know. I will tell you something. I've known people in days gone by. Now, don't any of you girls jump and run. I don't suspicion this of you. But I've seen them got a big rock on their finger. Be a year or two down the road after their divorce or right before it that they found out it was a class B in there instead of a dime. I've literally dealt with that kind of thing. Oh, man, what a thing, what a thing. All you women there, get up and go find somebody to look at that dime and make sure it's... No, we're not worried about that. Listen, if you've got that kind of doubt, you ought to back on out while you still can. If you've got that kind of doubt about a simple thing like that, a frivolity, something worse is going to come along than that, see? All that business there that whenever you begin to look into it, you recognize that Abraham was a man that, I want to tell you something, this Bible said that here was a man that just believed God. God told him to get up and get away from his family, and by that, I'm talking about you find his old daddy and so forth and on, because he said, I want you to get up from the Ur of the Chaldees, and that's the birthplace of Mohammed, if you will, please. It's a religion that's of idolatry. They worship the moon god. And as a result of that, you're going to find out is that we live in a world that's tied too much to daddy's heresy in the world we live in. You know, I was thinking about what a good crowd that this is, and God's made it better all the time, all along. And sometimes, you know, God makes us better without people that makes it bitter. And sometimes God wants to add and say from the guttermost to the uttermost and add to the church as it pleases him. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you right now, I can't tell you, but in 50-something years of ministering, I've had people in this church, not now, you're not here now. If you are here now, I don't know it yet, but you're not here now. But I've had people, you know, that amen, and would wish that their kin folks were here to hear what they were listening to. Amen. Preacher, that's a blessing. The same people, when they turn on you and it's nothing changed except something in them, now they think what I'm preaching is venom. You ought to hear that preacher spew that venom. Same sermon you used to say amen to. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, here's a man by the name of Abraham. Abraham was a man 75 years old. God called him to depart, and buddy, he just went ahead and departed and done what God said. Do you realize to know that Abraham, in verse number 1 of our text, that he believed God? I don't know about you, but I'm just glad. Every now and again I say, Lord, I do believe you, but I'm asking you to help my unbelief. You know, every now and again in the face of adversity, it's just hard to believe God. And you have to re-look at it again. Hey, the word ain't changed any. God's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. Abraham was a man that just believed God. You know what he believed him for? First of all, he believed him from the Bible. He believed the word of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I've been in this thing all these years. And let me tell you right now, here's something I've noticed, that the word of the Lord's never changed. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God said, I'm the Lord, and I change not. And God's not going to change one iota. I pray y'all are nearly as quiet as you was the other night whenever I was preaching about men and women and so forth and on in your house and all that business there. You know, you ought not to come up with some little snazzy, snide remarks about your spouse and all that. You know, it's easy for a man to get by with it because we're so critical and we see so many other things. But it wouldn't be so good that if you're embarrassing your wife in public, what if she embarrassed you in public? You know, and you go, I'm the chief. Yeah, yeah. She might call you Chief Little Winger or something. How would you like that? No, you don't like that. You wouldn't like that. Abraham was a man that believed God. I didn't know I was going to start a war dance or anything and all that. You women don't jump up and go, oh, and all that. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. See? In this lesson here, you're going to find out that Abraham was a man. The Bible said that he believed God. And let me tell you something. He believed God when he was young. I mean, here's a guy right here. You know, you're thinking 75 don't sound like that's too young. Well, you'd be surprised. From my standpoint, it sounds young all the time. And let me say to you that, if you will, that Abraham just believed God. He believed him when he was young. He believed him when he was old. He believed him when he was well stricken with age. Now, I didn't used to know what that meant, but I'm beginning to learn. I got to tell you right up front, make no mistake about it, is that you'll just do well in life if you'll believe God. I got to say to you that whenever you begin to look at it, he believed God for the Bible, for the word of the Lord, if you will, please. Whatever God said, he just acted upon it. He just believed it. I can tell you something else that he believed God for, not only the Bible. He believed God because of his bride. And let me tell you something right now. Make no mistake about it. Here they are, Abraham and Sarah. They're going to be having a baby. And they don't yet have a baby, that they're looking for this promised baby. It's going to be a miracle baby. If you read over there in the book of Romans in chapter number 4, you'll find that here's Abraham. He's called Abram back then, Sarai back then, but now Abraham and Sarah. And here they are, and their body is ravaged with old age to where they can't reproduce by the... normal reproduction of humanity. And you'll find here it is past the Sarah's time, for her womb is dead. Her body, and Abraham, what is he, 100? And there he is, can't reproduce and all that. And God promised them a miracle baby. Now, I'll tell you something. That's what really gets us in trouble, is that people go to trying to hurry up God or try to promise for God what God hadn't already promised. I had a lady one time, and I don't want to lose my thought here if I can help it, but I had a lady one time, she came forward during the invitation. She said, "Preacher, I am." And they had just had a loved one pass away, and the kids were devastated about it. And she said, "Preacher, I don't know what to do. Because I promised my children that if we would pray, that God would raise that person up, and they would be well, and that they would not have to worry about them leaving this world." I said, "Well, you didn't have any right to be able to promise that unto those children of yours, because the disappointment they have now in God is not because God's moved, it's because that you tried to move ahead of God." See? And let me tell you right now, make no mistake about it, God's always going to be right on time. We sometimes like to be able to play like that we're going to be God and call the shot, but you're not going to be. We're not going to change God one iota. You're going to find that here's a man by the name of Abraham. They're going to have a baby, and as a result of that, God, buddy, is about to fulfill that promise, and he has fulfilled it. Now he's a grown man, and his mama Sarah has already died. In this Bible lesson, you'll find is that Abraham believed God not only for a Bible and for a baby, but for a bride. I got to say to you that, if you will, this miracle baby that has now been born, his name is Isaac. And he's about now ready to be able to need a wife. And as a result of that, and he needs that wife, then here's what happens, is that Abraham is looking for Isaac to be able to have a wife, but not just anybody's going to do it. Now, I want to tell you right now is that when you begin to look into it, is that he's talking about the call of God for salvation, for separation, for service. Make no mistake about it, is that whenever you get to the place of where you're past idolatry and stuff like that, you better walk carefully with God and realize and know that he'll not just accept whatever our whimsical ideas and thoughts are, but he'll only honor that which comes directly from his word. Now, I notice something in this lesson here that you're looking at, and that is that you and I, we're not getting any younger. Yesterday's gone forever, tomorrow may not ever come. And let me tell you right now is that Abraham was a man that was blessed of God. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be blessed of the Lord myself. And the Bible teaches us that Abraham, not only did God use him to reveal the heart of God, Abraham was a man that paid tithes of all that he possessed into Melchizedek, so forth and on. He's our example of giving. He's our example of tithing over there in the New Testament, in the book of Galatians, so forth and on, book of Hebrews, so forth and on. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out that God intends for you and I to make sure that we understand that when God said, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, if you're a child of God and you let some infidel sweep you off your feet, you're going to have trouble the rest of your life. You're not going to be able to serve God in a divided house where you're wanting to live for God and the other one wants to live for the devil, regardless of which one that it is. In this Bible lesson, you're going to find out is that in this Bible thing that we're talking about, is that you'll find is that God was good to Abraham, but his wife Sarah got to buzzing in his ear, where's that promised child that God promised us? And she said, I'll tell you what we're going to do is that we're going to go down into, and of course they wanted to go down into Egypt. And while he was down there, she talked to Abraham into taking an Egyptian handmaid by the name of Hagar. Remember that? Let me tell you, that turned out rotten. Do you realize to know that out of the loins of Abraham, all of those Ishmaelites, all of those people that came from Ishmael, all of those people that he called away from his father, those Muslim people, if you will, I just saw here recently Muhammad Ali, and he was on his, I'm great, I'm the greatest of all time, I've always been the greatest, and I know that right there, I'm got a pretty face, I'm not like the people, you know, their old noses mashed up, fighting and all that, I've still got a beautiful face, a pretty face, and all of that, and I worship Allah, and blah, blah, blah. Well, he's in hell with Allah right now. Now, I don't mean that ugly, but I'm sorry, I do mean it, it is ugly. And you say whatever you want to about Muhammad Ali, I call him Cassius Clay. I'm sort of like, who was that guy that he fought? Let's see here, that was a champion at one time. And under what was his name? What was his name? Huh? Who? Nah, he beat Sonny Liston, but the other guy that was southpaw. Who? He was dead. Marciano would have whipped him, I guarantee you right now. I see right now y'all don't know nothing about boxing. Joe Frazier. Yeah. Smoking Joe. And Smoking Joe, he said, he Clay. He Clay. Cassius Clay. He Clay. He always be Clay to me. And all that. But anyhow, long and short and bottom line is this here. Out of the loins of Abraham, because he disobeyed the Lord, he got in a hurry and decided he'd rush it up. Boy, as a result of that, what a price to pay that we're paying in the world. You see them marching and demonstrating all over the country in the United States. They hate God, the Bible, the Jew. They hate everything good, right, moral, and decent. Now, this son by the name of Isaac, that's where them Jews are going to come from. And let me tell you right now, Abraham has learned his lesson. And he said, I tell you what I want you to do, my servant. I want you to promise me that you'll go into my home country. He wants of his like family, of his like race, of his like faith. And I want you to find somebody to be a wife that'll be unto Isaac. Now, let me tell you something. All was at his disposal. If you read the whole chapter, you'll find out that he takes 10 camels and he goes off into the land where he's been instructed to where Abraham has instructed him. And he goes off down in there. And here's a man that's a praying man himself. And he says, Lord, let it be whenever I get there that whoever comes out to the well first and I ask a drink, let her be able to say, well, let me go ahead and give you drink and provide for your camels also. And so he's a praying man, and he's waiting on that, and certainly as a result of it, God is just about ready to meet his required prayer and his request. And when he gets down there, let me tell you right now, is he meets this young lady. It's not just an accident, but behold, a young lady by the name of Rebecca. She's a virgin, never has known a man. And she comes out there, and he asks a drink, and she says, "You're not going to guess it. Let me give a drink for your camels also." But he knew exactly, God's in this, God's in that. And as a result of that, you're going to find out that God is about to use Abraham and about to use Isaac to be able to reveal the heart of God. Now, do you realize and know that all you girls and all you boys, and let me just drop something on you, some of you may be a little bit younger than your spouse, and that's okay. But let me tell you, you had better not get it very far away from it. You know why? Girls mature a little quicker than boys. If you girls one of these days get desperate and marry somebody that's going to be your baby, he'll be whack, 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 man, you'll be having to baby him all the time. And it's going to take a while to grow up out of that. I will tell you, this unequal yoke does more than just an unbeliever. It involves race, it involves age, it involves faith. See? Make no mistake about that. Now, I know y'all are all sucked up and tighter than a jug, and I'm fixing to quit and go to the house because I'm getting hungry anyway. I mean, I'm not going to be able to eat for 5 weeks after today. Was it weeks or hours? Maybe it was hours. 5 hours, that's it. 5 hours before. In this lesson here that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that while that Abraham there is back there and by faith believing that his servant's going to bring by the hand of God, the will of God, the direction of God, and bring a woman that'll be a virgin and has never known a man, and as a result of that, bring her. And here's the deal, is that whenever God begins to move in their behalf, is that you'll find out that if you expound all of Genesis chapter number 24, somebody's going to call you a racist. He's already learned you're not going to make something good out of Egypt to be able to magnify the Lord, and we've got the Ishmaelites to be able to prove that in the day we live in. As a result of that, you're going to find out that God's beginning to look at, and he said, "I want you to swear by the Lord that if she won't come, that you do not bring my son back thither." Now, watch this here. You may be thinking and wondering and all of that and saying, "Hey, well, what if peradventure she don't want to come?" Well, I got to tell you that in the providence of God, he's already got all that worked out. You would be able to look at this and all that God's already done. Do you know that God chose one planet out of all the planets and galaxies and stars? That God chose one planet, Earth, to be able to work his will. God, out of those people that are there, chose one tribe or one race. And then you'll find that God's chosen one book that's been written from that race, and namely the Jew as a religion. And then God chose one man, let me tell you, from that race in the tribe of Judah. And let me say to you that, if you will, that isn't it amazing how that God is not a mixer, but God's a separator, and that isn't it amazing that the world has gone hog wild nuts after their own ideology that they've invented. Now, in this lesson here, in verse number 25, she said, "Moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in." That's a whole lot different than it was when Jesus was born and they went into Bethlehem, wasn't it? And they had no room in the inn. This woman here, by the name of Rebecca, not only is she a great servant, gave the servant water and gave the camels. And by the way, don't take that for granted. 10 camels he took with him. Do you know how much 10 camels can drink if they're thirsty? Around 25 gallons per camel. So if you take 25 times 10, how much is that? What do you use? 25, 250? Someone's sitting there. No, don't look at me. Don't look. 250 gallons of water. That's a lot of water for a girl or a woman to be drawing and feeding them camels. But let me say to you, not only that, it's because she had room in her heart for the word of the Lord. Now, I want to say to you that when you begin to look into this lesson, one of these days God's going to come knocking on your heart's door. If you're not a Christian, God's going to come knocking on your heart's door by the preaching of the word of the Lord. And the question that he's going to be presenting unto you is, wilt thou go with this man, Christ Jesus? Now, you can put it off, but you may not have tomorrow. And you can put it off and have tomorrow and may not have that conviction or that opportunity. That's the reason why God intends us to be able to realize it's the urgency of the matter, that we ought to come now, that we ought to come quickly, that we ought to repent toward God and by faith receive him in the free pardon of sin. I want to tell you right now, as you know the rest of the story, it turns out great. And of course, anything that's in the mind of God, in the will of God, by the word of the Lord, always turns out great. But if you're here this morning, you say, preacher, you know, I just need something real from the hand and heart of God. Sometimes it's just a listening ear that you need. Sometimes it's a word of instruction or encouragement. Sometimes you're going to find out you're up against something that you don't know how to handle. The people that we read about and preach about that are in the Bible have the same problems that you and I have had. And God worked mighty in their behalf. I wonder why we stand to our feet, our heads are bowed. Our Father, we ask your blessings now upon the reading of thy word, and we do thank you for it. How good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. I pray that, Lord, if there's one lost and undone without God, they come to know Christ in the free pardon of sin. We're about to say amen, but, Lord, you'll trouble them wherever they go. You can trouble them as they ride down the road, sit in their home, sleep in their bed. Lord, I pray that you would touch that soul that's near his tail, and, Lord, as you pound upon their heart's door, may they have the willingness in their heart to trust Christ. Bless, I pray, the word to every heart in Jesus' name.